Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. What you want isn't always what you need. What you want isn't always what you need. About 8 years ago, we were living in Michigan, and as in youth ministry, and all our family lived here. And there was one particular spring, that spring of 2016, where there was three very important weddings in our lives. My sister was getting married, and I was doing the wedding, which was cool. Someone from our youth group was getting married, and I was just in the wedding as a groomsman. And then Joel and Cheyenne were getting married in Georgia, all within a span of, I think, 4 weeks. It was like one weekend after another. It was a crazy season of weddings, and all of them I had to be at. And usually, especially when I was in Michigan, I didn't take a lot of time away. So during that season, I know we came down. I can't remember the order of the weddings. I think Joel and Cheyenne's was the last wedding in Georgia. I believe so. So I think the first one was Glenn and Darlene's wedding, our friends from youth group. So we drove down for that wedding. I was in it. And my sister's was a week later, like 1 week later. Well, I knew that I couldn't take a whole week, you know, there in Massachusetts from Michigan to my sister's wedding and then take another week in Georgia after that. So I ended up driving home and leaving Marissa and the kids in Massachusetts. I drove home with my pastor who had done the wedding for our youth group friends. And then I flew back for Katie and my sister's wedding. It was in Sturbridge, Massachusetts, and I got to do that wedding. And then after that, we did have some time before we were going to drive down for Joel and Cheyenne's wedding in Georgia. And what we often did, and whenever we would take a vacation back to visit family from, we had no family in Michigan, all of our family was here. My family lives in Western Mass, and obviously my wife's family lives here on the Cape, lived here on the Cape for many years. So we'd come up and visit our families. And it was always a joy to come to the Cape. Now I live in the Cape, and so I'm more used to it. But when I didn't, it was so much fun to come out here. And like any person that doesn't live on the Cape, when you finally get out of the Cape, what's one of the first things you want to do as a tourist when you get to the Cape? Thank you, Mom. The beach. I'm going to go to the beach. I live in the Cape. Now, I barely go to the beach ever, you know. But when I was visiting, this was mid-May. It was about 8 years ago this past weekend. I flew into Logan, and then I got picked up at the airport and was driving out to the Cape. I hadn't seen my kids in like a week. And we went to, I can't remember which beach it was. I believe it might have been Smugglers. I don't know. It was one in West Yarmouth. And we brought the kids, and we all got jackets on because it was freezing. It was, you know, think of the weather this past week. It's not that hot out in May. And it was chilly. I had a coat on. And we took the kids. Seth was only 3 years old. And we didn't know at that time that he had autism. He was only three. But Seth had this obsession with water. So I want to show you a video of that day. It was May 16th, 2016. And this is when I finally got to see my kid. We all went to the beach. My in-laws were there as well. And this is Seth, who you've seen running around probably this morning, that day. It's cold.
Sad. Yeah. Big boy.
And then he sits in the water on the beach. It's freezing out.
Oh, no.
He didn't care. He loved it. I have a bunch more videos too. I don't have them, but there's some of him, and he is just soaked. He loved it. There's one video in particular where he starts trying to walk farther. I'm like, Seth, that was the ongoing theme that day was Seth, Seth, Seth. Well, my father-in-law sent me a photo this past week from that day that I hadn't seen in probably 8 years. And it was this photo right here of me and Seth. And there's me with my old school Red Sox jacket on. And you can see Seth is just pulling against me, trying to get back into the water and to go as far as he possibly can. That was always, Seth just loved, no matter what temperature it was, he wanted to get as far into that ocean as he could. Now, as his father, I know what's best for him, even when he doesn't understand. I know what he needs. And sometimes what Seth knew he wanted, like he knew he wanted to get in that water. Sometimes what he knew he wanted didn't line up with what I knew he needed. And in those times, when what he wanted didn't line up with what I knew he needed, much to his disdain, I gave him what he needed instead of what he wanted. And in the end, it worked out better for all of us. Seth wanted so badly to just go head first into those cold ocean waters. But I knew that that wasn't safe. And you can see I'm holding him back from getting in there because I know that even though he wants that, it's not what's best for him. Today's name of God that we're going to talk about is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. That's why we sang, I know the Lord will provide. We sang Jireh, you know, you're enough. You give me what I need. Today's name is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. He provides not always what we want, but always what we need. As our Father, he knows what's best for us, even when we don't understand. He knows what we need, and sometimes what we know that we want, we know what we want. Sometimes what we know we want doesn't line up with what he knows we need. And in those times, much to our disdain, God gives us what we need instead of what we want. And just like with Seth, in the end, it works out better for all of us. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. We're going to look at the life of Abraham this morning, the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 22. And I want to show you first the verse where we see this name, Jehovah Jireh. It's 22:14, Genesis 22:14. And it says, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. That's the end of this story. But if we go back in Genesis 22, the first 14 verses, we see that God asks Abraham to take his promised son Isaac and sacrifice him to God. Very odd request, very challenging request. And Abraham, in a test of faith, obeys God and walks up the mountain to where even his son Isaac is saying, Dad, we got the wood for the fire. We have the things for the sacrifice, but where's the actual animal for the sacrifice? And Abraham tells him in Genesis 22, the Lord will provide the sacrifice. When he knew that God had asked him to sacrifice his own son. And then when we know that in the story, if you don't know it, in the story, he ties his son up to the altar. He gets ready, takes a knife to sacrifice his son. And then the angel of the Lord calls and says, Abraham, stop. And we see, and we know that there was a ram in the thicket, a male goat in the thicket, and that was a sacrifice God provided. And Abraham passed that test of faith. So in that moment, on that mountain, Abraham created an altar to worship God and call the name of it Jehovah Jireh, which means in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen or it shall be provided. God had tested Abraham, and Abraham had passed his test of faith. But that's not the beginning of Abraham's story. You see, before Abraham ever called God Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, he called him by another name. He called him by another name. And by the way, Abraham himself was called by another name. If you look in Genesis chapter 12, we see that his name is Abram. And this is when God calls Abram to go and follow him. The verses say the Lord, and that word Lord here means the God of glory. So before Abraham ever knew God as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, the Lord who is enough, he knew God as the God of glory. He was in awe of Father God, believed on him, which is why in Genesis 12 we see that when God says to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, make you famous. You will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. God gave this calling to Abram, and his name was changed to Abraham in his following God. And let me say this, when God gets a hold of your life, when God gets a hold of your life and begins to give you purpose, he gives you a new name. He gives you a new identity. When God really gets a hold of your life, when you begin to follow him, and that's what happened to Abram, he followed. And if you think about Genesis 22, when Abraham called God Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, and Abraham had been through so many tests of faith that we're going to talk about, so many opportunities, so many situations where his faith and character were tested. Before God ever provided, because he said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. That was his purpose. That was Abraham's purpose. God says, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be the father of my nation. You're going to be famous, and not famous in a prideful way, but like people are going to know your name because you're going to be the father of many nations. That was his purpose. And let me challenge you in your life to look for the purpose in the provision. Look for the purpose in the provision. God promised to make Abraham the father of a great nation, Israel, God's chosen people. But to do that, Abraham needed children. He didn't have any. They couldn't have any. His wife, Sarai, was barren. She could not have kids. So God had given him a purpose before he provided the way. So some of you are in that waiting zone, wondering when God is going to come through for me. And instead of looking for the provision, think about the purpose that God is doing in your life. We see in Genesis 15, after God had given Abraham this calling, Genesis 15, it says, Abram replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you give me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, he will inherit all my wealth. You've given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. So Abram, knows what God has called him to do. He said, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And Abraham, time goes by, he's got no kids, and he says, God, you give me all these blessings, but you give me no kids, so I'm just going to leave all I have to my servant that's in my house. So he wasn't believing. Impatience. Church, impatience leads to doubt for many of us. I've been there. Impatience leads to doubt for many of us. God hasn't answered my prayers. God hasn't come through for me. God doesn't know what I asked him to do, so I guess he just doesn't care. And for some people, I guess God's just not even real, because if he was real, he would have answered my prayer. Impatience leads us to doubt oftentimes if we're not careful. And Abram's getting impatient. God, you promised to make me a great nation, the father of many nations, and I have no kids. I guess I'm just going to have to leave everything I have to my servant. He wasn't believing God. But God continued to remind him of his promise. God said, no. What I said, I meant. God doesn't just say words without any, God means what he says. God always keeps his promises. But Abraham was ready to find another way. And that's exactly what he did. God said, I'm gonna make a great nation out of you and your wife. And Abram's like, okay. And when he got too impatient, he was ready to find another way, and that's exactly what he did. In the next chapter, we see, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him. But she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abram agreed with Sarah's proposal. So their own way, they tried to make it happen. They couldn't wait. They didn't want to wait on God. Sarah says, take my servant Hagar and go sleep with her. Have kids with her, and those will kind of be my kids because she's my servant. This is not what God intended at all. And we see that's exactly what happened. Genesis 16, verse 15. So Hagar gave Abram a son, and Abram named him Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. So honestly, if we're being realistic, I think if any of us were in Abram's shoes, we'd be like, hey, Lord, I'm 86, are you going to keep your promise? But there was a lack of faith here. And because there was a lack of faith in what God promised, they tried to deal with it themselves. When God's way and our way collide, it always makes problems that could have been avoided if we simply waited. When God's way and our way collide, it always makes problems that could have been avoided if we simply waited. I don't have time to go into all the mess created from Abram and Sarai's decision to have a child through Hagar instead of waiting on God. These are situations and messes that we're still dealing with today in the Middle East. But beyond all that, in this moment, in this story, in this timeline, there was issues there where Hagar felt pushed out, and there was anger, there was animosity, there was jealousy, there was abuse, there was racism, all these horrible things happening because they decided to take matters into their own hands. And it didn't work. It just made a mess. We see in Genesis 17, we'll move on. Now Abram's name has been changed to Abraham. And look what Sarah now too. This is the chapter after. Then God said to Abraham, regarding Sarai, your wife, her name will no longer be Sarai. From now on, her name will be Sarah. And I will bless her and give you a son from her. Yes, I will bless her richly. She will become the mother of many nations. Kings of nations will be among her descendants. So God is being very clear here. He's saying, I'm going to give Sarah, your old wife, a son, an actual living son. What does Abraham say? Then Abraham bowed down to the ground. He laughed to himself in disbelief. How can I become a father at the age of 100, he thought. And how can Sarah have a baby when she's 90 years old? So Abraham said to God, may Ishmael live under your special blessing. So even still, as God is clearly telling him, I'm going to give you a child. I'm going to give you and Sarah a child, a son of your own. Abraham laughs to himself and literally says to God, well, you know what? You must be getting old, God. Just give your blessing to Ishmael, my son with Hagar. He's still not getting it. And God replied, no. Sarah, your wife, will give birth to a son for you. You will name him Isaac, and I will confirm my covenant with him and his descendants as an everlasting covenant. Even though Abraham really didn't believe the words of God, God continually reiterated to him his purpose. I'm going to make you guys a great nation. I'm going to use your life. I'm going to give you a child. And even though Abraham didn't believe, it didn't change what God had for him. And that's why, church, I want you to know this. Your purpose isn't diminished by your lack of faith. Your purpose isn't diminished by your lack of faith. Even when we doubt God, God doesn't doubt us. Even when we doubt God, He doesn't doubt us. He still calls us to greater things, even when we don't have the faith to believe in them. He calls us to greater things, even when we don't have the faith to believe in them. Your purpose isn't diminished by your lack of faith. This is something we all face. God has plans for us, purposes for us, and when things aren't working out the way we expected them to, our faith begins to weaken. And when our faith begins to weaken, doubt creeps in on even being able to be used by God. But even in those moments of our weakness, the strength of God's mercy still believes that He can use us and that He will use us. And what happens in Genesis 21? The Lord kept His word and did for Sarah exactly what He had promised. She became pregnant, gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God had said it would. And Abraham named their son Isaac. The purpose came before the provision. The purpose came before the provision. The calling of God on Abraham and Sarah's life to be father and mother of many nations, that calling came before they even had a son. And that's where faith steps in. The purpose came before the provision. God did what He said He would. And I love how the scriptures say exactly when He said He would. Exactly at the right time. God is never late. God is never late. God is never late. The purpose came before the provision. But what about when God takes away what He's given you? He gave him a son. That's awesome. In Genesis 21, that's amazing. He gave them the son in their old age, 190, 100 years old for Abraham and 90 for Sarah. That's a miracle. That's incredible. But what about when God takes away what He's given you? What about when He asks you to sacrifice that promised son? What about when you lose that job that God gave you? What about when that vehicle gets totaled that you always thanked Him for? What about when those kids that you raised start acting a fool, start acting crazy? What about when that marriage that you're so grateful for and that you believe God put together starts to fall apart? What about when that bank account runs dry even though you're doing all the right things? What about when the life that you gave to God, the life and heart that you gave to God starts to unravel at the seams? Then what? Then what? And that's where we get to Genesis 22. We mentioned it already. Sometime later, so the chapter after God gave them the son, sometime later God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Then what? God, I've been waiting so long for this provision. You're Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. I've been waiting so long. You finally gave me this son a chapter earlier, and now you're asking me to give him back to you? What about all this purpose that you've given me? What about a father of many nations? It's a miracle in and of itself that we even had a son, and now you want to take him? Then what? Remember this, church. The God of the storm is also the God of the calm. In the New Testament, we know the stories of the disciples on the boat, and the storm comes, and Jesus walks in the water in one instance, another one, he's sleeping in the boat, and he calms the storm. The God of the storm is the God of the calm. So the God of the purpose is the God of the provision. He's the God of the miracle. He gives us what we need, not what we want. Abraham needed greater faith. Abraham needed another story of God's faithfulness. Abraham needed stronger trust. So God gave those things to him through this test of faith. He's Jehovah Jireh. He provides what we need. We don't see Abraham scrambling around on the mountain looking for a sacrifice. We don't see Abraham like, hey, you know, God told me to say, but you know, there's got to be a ram around here somewhere. Like, where is it? We don't see Abraham doing that. We see Abraham in this test of faith doing what God asked, even when it didn't make any sense at all. But that's what we do. That's what we do. That's what I do. We search for what we want instead of waiting for what we need. Hear that, church. Think about that in your life. We search for what we want instead of waiting for what we need. And church, it's time that we stop looking around for the sacrifice and look for the Savior instead. Stop looking around for a way out. Stop looking around for the answer to your problem. Stop looking around trying to figure things out like Abraham did with Hagar and Sarah. Bad idea. Bad things always happen when we try to take matters into our own hands. And we got to stop looking around for the answer and just look to Jesus and trust in him. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides not what we want, but what we need. You want a relationship. Boyfriend, a girlfriend, a marriage, whatever. You want a relationship, but he knows, but God knows you need to learn to depend on him alone. So you may not get that relationship because he's waiting for you to learn to have sustenance and to have to be satisfied in him alone. You want money to feel secure, but he knows that you need to learn to live within your means. So he's not going to give you all that extra money that you really want, that you think you really need. And he says, no. You just need to learn how to live within your means. You want that better house. You want that nicer car. You want to kind of step up there. And he knows that you need to learn contentment. He knows what we need. You want perfect health, but he knows the faith that will grow in you through the trial. That's what you really need. You want stability, you want comfort, you want ease of life, and he knows that you need greater strength, greater fortitude. He knows that you need to be stretched so that you can be used for greater things. That's God. He knows what we mean. He doesn't provide just what we want. Listen, sometimes the answer that you're looking for, that you're searching around for, it's right at the edge of the cliff. It's in the day, it almost seems like it's in the danger zone. Okay, Abraham was moments away from sacrificing his son when God gave him the answer. Listen, it seems dangerous there at the edge of the cliff when God finally steps in. But God is getting you oftentimes as close to your breaking point as possible. Not to be vindictive. Not because he's rude. Not because he wants to see us struggle. No. He's creating dependence on him. He's creating strength in us. That's what God does. I know in my life, the moments when I have felt at war spiritually and when things are totally against me, I remember a counselor once told me in those moments, he said, God is showing you how strong you are in him. He's showing you how, listen, if life was all easy and just a cakewalk, where would the faith be needed? God will take you higher to a higher plane for the better view if you're willing to climb. If you're willing to climb. Listen, it takes more strength. It takes more energy. It takes more bumps and more bruises. But I'm telling you, when you get to that mountaintop that God has led you to, it's not comfortable. It's not easy. It's a challenge. It hurts. It's exhausting. But when you get to that mountaintop, there's a better view. There's better results. There's miracles. There's peace. There's a dependence on God that never would have come without that climb. You pray prayers. We pray prayers like, God, change my life. God, give me strength. God, use me. God's going to bring you on that higher climb if you really mean that prayer. He's going to lead you to a higher place. It's going to be a challenge. But he knows what you need. He knows what you need. He's Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Oftentimes, church, instead of trying to figure out on our own, we just got to wait. We got to wait. Scriptures talk so much about waiting, waiting, waiting. Wait for the plot twist in your life. Wait for the plot twist. You know, a ram in the thicket. You know, no way. Like, here you go. Here's Abraham ready to sacrifice his son. Like, what is going on? And then, stop, Abraham. There's a ram in the thicket. Like, no way, man. Four men in the fire. Remember the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? In the fiery furnace, they're supposed to be dead, but no, I see four guys in there. One of them looks like the Son of God. It's crazy. Daniel is alive in the lion's den. Man, he spent the whole night with the lions, and he's still alive. What a plot twist. Come on now. Hey, the tomb is empty. There's no one there. He rose again. That's my God. He's the God of the plot twist. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a plot twist. Listen, right now, church, you're sitting in the plot twist in this building. I mean, we had bigger plans. We had other plans of another building, another place. And God said, no, I'm taking that one out. And I'm like, what is the deal? We're in the plot twist. Things won't go your way sometimes. You'll get disappointed. You'll get annoyed. But listen, church, your disappointment isn't defeat. Your disappointment isn't the end. Your disappointment isn't defeat. Your disappointment's just a detour. It's a detour. Your disappointment isn't defeat. It's a detour. I just mentioned the building we're in now. We had another building. I've mentioned this story before over in West Yarmouth on Long Pond. Beautiful storefront. I thought it was the perfect place. Me and Dan went and looked at it. I got blueprints drawn up. I'm like, this is the place. This is Coastline's first building. It's going to be amazing. Oh, I cannot wait. I was so thrilled. And then right at the last second, it fell through. And then COVID came. It was just a mess. And I'm like, God, what are you doing? What's the deal? God had a better yes. He had a higher plane. He had a better view. And we're sitting in it right now. We're sitting in the plot. We're sitting in the detour. God is taking you a different way, some of you, right now. He's taking you a different way. He's taking you to where he wants you to go, but a different way than you expected. Where you're going to see new things that you wouldn't have seen if you had gone your way. You're going to see new things. You're going to learn a new route. You're going to discover new places, new gifts, new things that God has for you. I hate detours driving. I hate them. I know where I want to go. This way is quicker. Well, I got to go all the way around these back roads. It's annoying. It's frustrating. We hate detours, but God uses them. God uses them. He says, watch what I can do when you let me lead the way. Because you're going to see new things. You're going to be stretched a little bit more. You're going to know more about your environment. Listen, every detour I've taken, I'm like, oh, this is a different way I can get to this place. But I start to learn more about my environment, about my town. Have a greater understanding of how things work. And it's the same in life. Those detours of life that God takes us on, where we go a different way. We don't like them. Because we don't honestly always know. We're like looking for the next sign that points us in the right direction. It's kind of unknown. Man, enjoy the ride. Because God's got plans. God can do great. He says through Scripture say that he'll do above all that we could ask or think. He's Jehovah Jireh. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And Abraham had seen some things. Abraham had seen the hand of God. Abraham had seen God not just provide the ram, but Abraham had seen God give him a son at 100 years old. He had seen God protect them against the enemy, protect them from the Pharaoh of Egypt. Story after story in the book of Genesis of the hand of God in Abraham's life. A lot of detours. But God's purpose was completed in him. What's God doing in your life? What detour are you on that you want it to be over? Listen, there's purpose in the provision, often before it. So watch what God has for you. And just wait. Just wait. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.